Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only source of true rest. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, imagine this scenario in your mind. It has been a very long time since you and your family have taken a really nice vacation. And so finally, after discussing it for weeks, you decide that this is where you want to go, and this is what you want to do once you reach your destination. Since you work for a company that requires you to put in a request to take some time off for vacation, you put in that request months before you plan on leaving. And then you wait for a response. And you wait for a response. When no response is forthcoming, you send in a second request asking to take some time off for a vacation. Again, you wait. Again, no response. So you finally decide that you're going to go down to the office of the person who makes those decisions and ask for time off so that you and your family can take a vacation. When you get into their office, you look at them and say, "Did you get my request to take some vacation time?" And they look you straight in the eye and say, "Yes, I got both of your requests. Your request is denied." Denied. "Why are you denying my request to take some vacation time?" And they look at you without blinking an eye, and they say, "We've seen that your job performance has been slipping, so maybe if you work a little harder and bring your job performance up, then we can talk about giving you some vacation time a little later down the road." I seriously doubt that anyone would accept that, simply go home, tell their family that the vacation has been canceled, and this is why. After a long, hard day at work, you have earned the right to go home, sit in your favorite chair, put your feet up, and read a good book or watch a little bit of television. After a long, hard week at work, you have earned the right to enjoy a little bit of rest and relaxation over the course of the weekend. And after months of long, hard work, you have earned the right to take some time off and go away on vacation. That's the way it works, right? Rest is earned. Rest is earned through hard work. Since that concept is deeply ingrained in our physical life, we should not be surprised when that very same concept finds its way into our spiritual life. That's why it's so important for us to listen to the amazing truth that Jesus proclaims to us today. That amazing truth is this: spiritual rest is a gift, not something that we earn. As I'm reading through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and ministry, I find myself amazed at how often we find Pharisees in the crowds of people that would gather around Jesus, and how often we would find Pharisees in the crowds of people that followed Jesus. Why did the Pharisees do this? I personally don't think that the Pharisees gathered around Jesus or that the Pharisees followed Jesus in an effort to learn from him. To me, it seems more likely that the Pharisees gathered around Jesus and that the Pharisees followed Jesus in an effort to trap him. They were desperately, desperately hoping that Jesus would do something or say something or allow something that they could then use to discredit him in the eyes of the people. We find an example of that in the opening verses of our text for today. Mark writes, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?'" Why were the Pharisees so upset? The law that the Lord God had given to his people through his servant Moses very specifically said, "If you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to his standing grain. With this provision in his law, the Lord God was not only providing food for a hungry traveler, but he was also protecting the farmer. He was protecting the farmer from people who would come into his field and just steal a significant amount of his crops. The Pharisees themselves reveal why they were so upset when they asked Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" The Pharisees were notorious, my friends. They were notorious for adding their own laws to God's law and then requiring that everyone obey not only God's law, but their laws as well. And that seems to be especially true when it comes to the Sabbath law that God gave to his people. As you know, the Lord God established the Sabbath day on the seventh day of creation. God specifically set aside the seventh day so that we human beings would have a day of rest on a regular basis. And as we heard in our Old Testament lesson for today, when the Lord God gave his people his revealed law, he very quickly and very clearly told them that no one, not even the animals, not even the servants, not even the foreigners who were living among God's people, no one was allowed to work on the Sabbath day. The Lord God also made it very clear to his people why no one was to work on the Sabbath day. Not only did the Sabbath day give God's people a regular opportunity to have a day of rest, but the Sabbath day gave God's people a regular opportunity to gather together and remember. Remember what the Lord their God had done for them. Sadly, over the course of time, the religious leaders among God's people interpreted the Sabbath day and the Sabbath law in a way that went far beyond what God himself had intended. I read that the rabbinical law, the law that God's people themselves formed, the rabbinical law added 39 categories of the work that you were not allowed to do on the Sabbath day. One of those categories centered on reaping grain. The Pharisees were accusing Jesus' disciples of breaking this rabbinical law. And since a teacher was responsible for the actions of his disciples, these Pharisees were essentially saying to Jesus, "What in the world is wrong with you? You claim to be such a great teacher, and yet you allow your disciples to do what is unlawful on the Sabbath day." As the teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ put these self-righteous, legalistic scholars in their place in two very powerful ways. First, he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." These Pharisees were undoubtedly well aware of exactly what Jesus was talking about. These Pharisees were undoubtedly well aware of the fact that when David was fleeing for his life from King Saul, he and his companions got to a point where they were hungry and they had nothing to eat. When they arrived at the tabernacle, the house of God, they were given the bread of the presence to eat. According to the law, only the priests were allowed to eat the bread of the presence. So if David and his men were not sinning by eating the bread of the presence when they were hungry, certainly Jesus' disciples were not sinning when they took some heads of grain and ate them because they were hungry. Jesus used this incident, my friends, to not only teach these self-righteous legalistic Pharisees that the ceremonial law was never designed to be used as a club against God's people. But he also wanted the Pharisees to understand that it's always lawful. It's always lawful to do good and to save people. Hang on to that thought, because we're going to come back to it in a little bit. The second and even more important way in which Jesus put these legalistic religious scholars in their place is by saying to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God himself established the Sabbath day to give us human beings the blessing of rest, both physical rest as well as spiritual rest. In his eternal wisdom, the Lord God knew that, given the opportunity, we would just work and work and work and work and work so that we could gain more things for ourselves. Since we, God's children, have that same urge deep down inside of us, God commanded us to set aside a day of rest on a regular basis. If we refuse to follow God's command, we're not only rebelling against God's will for us, but we are bringing harm upon ourselves, both physical as well as spiritual harm. As God's children, we need to trust. We need to trust that we don't have to work as much as we possibly can to get the things that we want, but we trust that the Lord our God will freely provide us with our daily bread, the things that we truly need. The Pharisees had become so enslaved by striving to follow their own interpretation of the Sabbath law. The Pharisees had become so enslaved in trying to earn rest for themselves that they lost sight. They lost sight of the spiritual blessings and the spiritual rest that God intended the Sabbath day to give to his disciples, to all of his children. The Sabbath day gave God's people a special opportunity to worship the Lord their God. The Sabbath day gave God's people a special opportunity to study God's holy revealed word. The Sabbath day gave God's people a special opportunity to learn more about God's will for their eternal salvation, or God's plan for their eternal salvation, and God's will for their life here on this earth. The Sabbath day gave to God's people a special opportunity to bring their thanks and their praise to the Lord their God. And the Sabbath day gave God a special opportunity to give to his people something that they could not earn. Rest. Both rest for their physical body, but especially rest for their souls. This unearned gift of rest is why Jesus says concerning himself, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The term Son of Man was not only Jesus' favorite title for himself, but the term Son of Man was also a messianic title. As the true Son of the one and only living God, Jesus is the one who had established the Sabbath day. And as the long-awaited promised Messiah, Jesus is the one who fulfills the Sabbath day. Jesus is the only one, my friends, who has both the right and the authority to say to you and to me, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Earlier I said that Jesus was trying to teach these Pharisees that the ceremonial law was not to be used in a legalistic manner against God's chosen people. In this case, that meant that striving to keep all 39 regulations concerning the Sabbath day could never earn the rest that God intended the Sabbath day to bring. At the same time, Jesus wanted the Pharisees to understand that it is always lawful to do good and to save life. We have an example of that in the second portion of our text, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Mark tells us that on another Sabbath day. Jesus went into the synagogue where there was a man who had a shriveled hand. Sadly, Mark also tells us, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Picture that scene in your mind. These people were in the synagogue. Today we would say that they were in church. Where was their focus? What were they thinking about? Were they focused on worshiping the Lord their God? Were they focused on the physical and the spiritual rest that God himself intended the Sabbath day to give them? No, not at all. For some of them, at least, their number one priority was to see if Jesus was going to break one of those man-made Sabbath laws and heal a man who had a shriveled hand. And when Jesus asked them point blank, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? They didn't have an answer. Jesus' hypocrisy, or their hypocrisy, angered Jesus. And when Jesus did have mercy on them, when Jesus did heal this man, thereby giving him a rest, the likes of which he may have never known before in his life, Mark tells us, then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. I seriously doubt that these Pharisees went home from church rejoicing in the rest that God designed the Sabbath day to give. So what can you take home with you today, my friends? Let me make a couple of suggestions. You can take home with you a renewed commitment to observing the Sabbath day by gathering together in church as often as you possibly can. Renew your commitment to come together as brothers and sisters in the faith, to hear and to learn and study God's Word, and to receive the Lord's Holy Supper. Renew your commitment to publicly worshiping and praising and thanking the God who has done so very much for you. You can also take home with you an even deeper thankfulness for the rest, the true rest that only Jesus can give to you. While we are indeed thankful that after a long, hard day at work, we can go home and find a little rest for our physical body, while we are indeed thankful that after weeks and months of working hard, we can take some time off and go on vacation so that we can find rest for both our body and our mind, we are to be especially thankful, eternally thankful, for the spiritual rest that Jesus so freely gives to us. Jesus gives us rest for our weary and our burdened soul by taking us by the hand and leading us to the cross on Calvary's Hill. There at the cross on Calvary's Hill, Jesus gives us the rest that we need the most, spiritual rest for our soul. There at the cross on Calvary's Hill, Jesus gives us rest from guilt, rest from worry, rest from shame, rest from hopelessness. There at the cross of Calvary's Hill, Jesus gives us the rest that comes from knowing that purely by grace, through faith in what he has done for us, all of our sins are completely forgiven. That is the amazing truth that our amazing God proclaims to us today. Every time we lift up our eyes to this cross or to any cross, we are assured, we are given God's guarantee that spiritual rest is a gift. It's not something that we have to earn. May God grant that that amazing truth will always lead us to say, to God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.